I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I forgot to look up the page number for that. Anybody have a page number for Matthew 28? In the Red Pew Bibles there? 811. Thank you. Page 811 in your Red Pew Bibles. I invite you to follow along, read along with this story. Can't get enough of this. Seems like every time you read it, every year I come back to it, and we think, oh, what, you know, what's in the resurrection this year? It's like something new pops out. It's so awesome. How many of you like surprises? Good ones, right. Yeah, we like good surprises, right? Not necessarily bad surprises. I remember when we were in Indiana, and I was a youth pastor in Indiana, and we had probably been there, I would say, oh, around 10 years or so. We had our three kids, and I had a youth pastor salary. Diana had some side jobs, but, you know, we weren't making a whole lot of money, so our vacations every year was going back to see family in Virginia or in Pennsylvania. If we went somewhere different, we went camping. That we had to take the inexpensive route. And so one day, the senior pastor, Wayne Hahn, approached me, and he said, hey, he said, me and Donna would like to send you and your family to Disney World. And we're like, whoa, right? And with the meal plan. Which is like you can eat, I mean, you know, gain 20 pounds or whatever. We had a fantastic experience as a family, one of our best memories. But what a surprise, huh? What a surprise, what a blessing to have my senior pastor do that. In the story of the resurrection, it is full of surprises. But it's not just surprises for the characters that are involved. They are surprises for us too. Wonderful blessings that we may not have thought about too much. But there are cool surprises that are in there. So let's start. And before we do, let's pray. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this day and what it means. But Lord, many of us, we have been here before. We know this story. Some of us have already been outside and we heard resurrection story out here and we sang songs twice. And Lord, it's become awfully familiar. It's a good story to be familiar with. But Lord, may it not be so familiar to us that we miss something new that you want to show us to draw us closer to yourself, to make us more like your son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, our simple prayer is this. Open up our eyes, open up our hearts, that we might receive what you want to give us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to actually go back to chapter 27 and to verse 57. And this is on the Good Friday evening, right before dusk. We're going to start in verse 57. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Now, get a hold of that picture for a minute, okay? These two women are just staring across, staring into oblivion. They are just dumbfounded. You know, we can just only imagine what is going through their mind, experiencing the lowest point of their life. This guy who you put all your hopes and dreams in and who is just so awesome, no more. He's dead. He's dead. And you're just sitting there. There's no future. Now chapter 28. After the Sabbath, so we skip a day, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Certainly, this is surprise number one, right? You're going to the tomb, the ground is shaking, there's an earthquake, you get there, and there's an angel sitting on top of the tomb. I'd be surprised at that. I mean, it's just like, that would be the last thing I would have expected that when I've gotten there, right? Verse 5, this angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Surprise number two. The women go, they look inside of the tomb. Well, we saw his body being hauled into there, you know, 2 days ago. Surprise, right? Verse 7, then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you, the angel said. I did my job, now I've told you. Verse 8, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Surprise! Right? Right? And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Oh, may God bless the reading of his word, huh? How awesome it is to read that. Last week, my daughter Kara went to Spain to retrieve all of her belongings and bring them back here to stay for a while. Right? So when she was there, she took along with her a couple suitcases. She's got a couple suitcases full of stuff. Other travel bags full of stuff. She got a load of stuff. And then she had a 45-minute drive to the airport, right? So she called for an Uber van to pick her up since she had so much stuff. And she got the price to reserve that for the next day. It was $250. And she kind of was like, oh. And so to her, realistically, that was a lot of money. And then you put on top of that the emotional stress of leaving this place that she had been for a couple years that she dearly, dearly loves. She was like, you know, the emotions were high. And so she texts me. I'm sitting at a softball game at my granddaughter's softball game. I get this text. Kara texts me and says, I'm in tears. So you never want to get that as a father, right? It's just so what's up? You know, so she explains to me, you know, the whole situation, $250, and it's just so expensive, and I just, you know, just kind of stressing out a little bit. So I take the phone and I hand it to my other daughter, Blair, who is sitting with me, whose daughter is the one playing, and Blair, I kind of refer to as the fixer, okay? I've mentioned that before. She's the one that I kind of give situations to, and she can solve problems, and she knows who to call and what to say and stuff like that. So she looks at it, she reads it, and she goes, she starts texting back an answer, right, you know? And I read what she said and simply said this, just order a regular car. Put two suitcases in the trunk, one in the back seat with the other stuff. You sit up front. You've got this, she said. Kara texts back. Okay, I'm sorry, but it was just so expensive. Okay, it's just I'm sorry. And Blair texts back again. Dude, you're cool. Okay, just close this book. Close up shop. You've got this. Kara responds, okay. right? There's the first surprise for us. First resurrection surprise is this. Jesus surprises us and reassures us that everything's going to work out okay. Everything's going to work out okay. Verse 6, the angel tells the women, he's not here, he is risen, just as he said. Just as he said. So to reassure the women, he's trying to trigger in their minds the memories of what Jesus had said. Because numerous times, Jesus had told his followers, hey, I'm going to be handed over to the religious leaders. I'm going to be beaten and killed. But then after 3 days, I'll rise again. Now, the disciples, they didn't fully... Not that anybody would, but they didn't fully grasp what that meant. They figured the best that they probably thought, okay, well, there's going to be a time of revolt and fight against the Romans. It's going to last 3 days, but afterwards, we're going to be good. They had no idea that Jesus was going to actually die and then be resurrected, okay? But you can imagine. You imagine for a moment, after the resurrection, weeks after the resurrection, the disciples are sitting around telling stories about Jesus. Do you remember when he said this? And do you remember when he said that? And all of a sudden they're kind of going, oh, that's what he meant. Oh, they're having these, 2+2 moments where they're putting things together. Like when he talked about the kingdom of God is so worth it. It's like finding a pearl in a market, a nice pearl, and you sell everything that you have and you go to the market and you buy that pearl. That's what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus said. And I imagine the disciples are thinking about those stories and going, oh, yeah. That's right, because he's resurrected, everything's changed. And so when he said crazy things like loving your enemies, right, they kind of went, oh, well, if you're going to be resurrected after you die, yeah, I guess you can. It's easier to do once you know everything is going to work out in the end. I think there's a lot of these aha moments after the resurrection. And so that's why these disciples who fled and hid when Jesus was arrested and crucified, now after the resurrection, a couple weeks after the resurrection, they all of them boldly spoke out for Jesus and they followed his teachings in the face of persecution and death because they knew everything was going to work out. Everything was going to be okay. And so the same thing applies to us. Resurrection means that Jesus is alive, which means that his Holy Spirit resides in us, which means we are never alone, which means that he will show us truth and guide us and strengthen us through difficult times when we turn to him. Resurrection means that what we're going through now is not going to last forever. Resurrection means that our life is not defined by our worst moments. But the key to helping us to remember that everything is going to work out is that we need to remember the words of Jesus, right? Remember what the angel said. He is risen just as he said. Just as he said. We need to remember what he said. When we remember the words of Jesus, that helps us to believe that everything is indeed going to work out okay. A couple years ago, Diana and I had the opportunity to go to Rome, and when we were visited the Vatican, we saw this picture, the Pietà, this picture that, not a picture, it is a statue that Michelangelo carved out of marble, a picture of Jesus being held by Mary. Took him 2 years to carve that out. Now, I got to stand right by that, and it's just amazing to think that somebody made that out of a block of marble, right? When I see things like artists like that, I just kind of go, wow. And then there's another thing, too. When I go to state fairs, sometimes I'll see this. Some guy does that with a chainsaw, to a tree trunk, and I'm still like, that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, and Lord knows what I would do if it would look like, you know, but that still, that's amazing. And then I'm still amazed by this guy. Okay? You're familiar with Bob Ross, the painter. There are times I've watched him that I get mesmerized because I watch this blank piece of canvas, and he starts doing his thing with the happy trees, right? And all of a sudden, with just a few brush strokes, it's like, oh, that's a tree. That is amazing. It's just there, you know? I'm just surprised at how talented some people are to take a blank stone or a tree trunk or a canvas and create beauty out of that. And the resurrection does the same for us. Jesus surprises us with unexpected blessings in our life. I love how the angel invites the women to check out the tomb. You know, he's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see. It's the invitation. The angel essentially is saying, hey, ladies, I know you think that Jesus is dead, but let me show you what God can really do. Come and see. You know, often we kind of settle for what is safe or what we know or what we've experienced in our life. That's what we settle for. I mean, these women, they knew Jesus was dead. They saw him being taken down off the cross. They saw his body. They probably wrapped his body. They saw his body being put. They knew he was dead. And likewise, we kind of know, we kind of have an idea what God can and can't do in our life. We've been around for a number of years. We've been doing life for a number of years. We know what God can do with us. We know what he can't do with us, right? And so because of that, sometimes we settle for what is safe and what we're comfortable with. We kind of get comfortable maybe in our praying. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes, you know, the thought of us praying out loud for somebody else just freaks us out, right? Like if you had a good friend and they said to you, would you pray for me? And so, yeah, okay, I'll keep you in my prayers. But maybe what God would be calling you to do would actually be praying for them right there in the moment. And your thought is, well, I can never do that. I can't pray publicly. I can't because that's my experience. That's my comfort level. We become comfortable with our giving too, right? The command in Scripture that it all belongs to God, and there's the concept of tithing, giving 10% to the local ministry, to the local church. Could never do that because it's not what we know. That's a step that's kind of beyond us. I could never invite my neighbor to church or to talk to them about Jesus. I just don't know what to say and would get tongue-tied, and besides, they're kind of mean anyhow, and, you know, I just could never do that. I could never go and apologize to that person. Besides, what they did to me, I know what Jesus said, but it's just not in me to do it. And I couldn't, besides, it's their fault. I'm not comfortable doing that. And so we just settle. But what if in the resurrection we are invited, as Jesus tells, the angel tells us, come and see. We are invited to take that next step of faith. Because here's the deal. We are like that block of marble or that tree trunk or that blank canvas that God has been working on us for a while, but he's not finished. But he's working on us. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we are God's workmanship. We are his craftsmanship. God is working on us. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." The resurrection means that God is not done with us. He's still shaping us. And there are unexpected blessings to come before he's finished. Diana and I like to watch the nightly news every week because we're kind of in the old people category. Any other old people in here like to watch the nightly news every week? This is, you know, we've entered that into our life. And if you notice, they always end with a feel-good story at the end of the segment. The last segment's usually a feel-good story. You know, the first 20 minutes is how bad the world is, right? Oh, but here's some good news tonight. And a lot of times, you know, we've seen numerous times the story of the child who is surprised at school. There's an assembly going on, and the child goes up front to, like, receive a reward or something like that. And out of the audience comes the father who'd been deployed overseas for 5 months and hasn't been home for a while, and the kid just runs to dad and so excited. You know, it's just that feel-good moment, right? I was thinking, imagine for a moment that if you are that child that and the teacher tells you, well, we got to go down to the gym for an assembly, and you're like, I want to get this homework done because I don't want to take it home. I got plans tonight. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to get this homework done. I don't want to go to a stupid assembly, right? And so you ask the teacher, can I stay here? No, no, no. Can I take my homework with me? The teacher says, no, no, no. You got to come with, right? And so your kid, you're kind of upset. But then when you get there, and then when you get called forward for, you know, hey, come down front, you're kind of like, well, you know, what's going on here? And all of a sudden, your dad steps out of the crowd, all those instructions, all those restrictions from the teacher wasn't about the assembly. It wasn't about you getting a reward. It was all about your reunion with your father. You see, the angel tells the women to come and see and to check out the tomb. And they go quickly and they tell the disciples. But as they are obeying the angel, as they are following the instructions of the angel, all of a sudden they run into Jesus on the way. Resurrection surprise number 3 is this. Jesus surprises us with the best gift whenever we obey. That's the gift of himself. See, these women, they weren't just chasing an experience. They were simply doing what they were told to do. And the reward of their obedience wasn't just confirmation that Jesus was alive. It was clarity. They met Jesus himself. Sometimes we think that obedience leads to blessings, and it does. But the greatest blessing at the end of obedience is Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, and this is a big deal. He told them, he basically tells us, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Imagine what it would be like to have Jesus as your friend. This is what he wants, by the way. I mean, some of you have seen The Chosen, and we kind of like the guy who plays Jesus on The Chosen. We think he's pretty cool. I would like to be pals with that guy, right? Or we read the story, we know about Jesus in the Bible. We kind of go, I like that guy. You know, I could be friends with him. I mean, to imagine. And again, this is what he wants. He says, I will always be with you. He says, if you ever need some advice, which way to turn, I'll give you the best advice there is. Just come turn to talk to me. I'll sometimes I'll get in your face when you're doing the wrong things because I know it'll be harmful to you. And not only that, he knows our situation. He's a friend that we don't have to explain the situation to because he already knows. He already knows. Resurrection, it's not something we don't often think about. Another surprise of the resurrection is that Jesus offers to become our friend. Finally, this. I want to skip. You've still got your Bibles open. Turn to verse 16. I think this is interesting as well. This is the closing. This is how Matthew closes his book. Then the 11 disciples, chapter 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, did anybody read anything in there that they kind of went, that's interesting. You catch that in verse 17? When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Matthew's telling us that not all of the disciples had bought into the resurrection yet. You know, this is one of the ways that you can tell as you read the Bible that you know that this was not a made-up story. Because if you were making up a story of the account of the resurrection of somebody, you wouldn't have his closest followers going, I don't think that really happened. You know, they're doubting. If you were making this up, you would make up, you know, oh, they all believed and lived happily ever. You know, you get crazy things like they doubted. I mean, they worshiped, but yet some of them are going, I don't know. Something's a little off here. Still trying to put it all together. You know, they're worshiping because everybody else is, but they're not totally there yet, right? And then what I think is even more amazing, we have no comment from Jesus. We have no comment from Jesus. It's not like Jesus is standing there going, you know, and just everybody, oh, you're worshiping. And Jesus goes, James, what's wrong? How come? What more do I have to do? Why don't you believe me? Right? Why don't you get with the program? The rest of them, how come the few of you, you know? Jesus doesn't do that. Here's the fourth surprise. Jesus surprises us by not being upset with our doubts. You know, for many of us, our relationship with Jesus comes with doubt. Sometimes we think and we question whether or not Jesus really accepts us because of our past failures. You know? Oh, you know, God loves everybody, I know that. But, you know, sometimes we think, there's a limit, right? There's a limit because of what I've done in the past and how I've messed up. So we doubt. We doubt whether or not we're qualified to take the next spiritual step, right? Because there's that limit that God can only do so, like I'm only so spiritual. I can't take that next step because I'm just not there yet. And so we think, no, I can't do that. Sometimes we doubt whether or not we can take his teaching seriously. Like when he says things about loving your enemies, we kind of go, I don't know if that'll work. I doubt if that'll work. We have doubts on whether we can continue on after a devastating loss in our life. How can we go forward? But the promise of resurrection is that Jesus never shakes his head at us. He never frowns. He is not disappointed in us because he knows. He knew the disciples had doubts. And what did he say? Guys, now I want you to go I want you to tell other people about me. I want you to teach them everything that I taught you. I want you to baptize them into this community of faith. And I want you to remember, I'm going to be with you always. Resurrection means Jesus knows our doubts, and he still gives us an assignment and tells us, I'll be with you. So here's the challenge for us this Easter. Don't walk away from the resurrection unchanged. The women didn't. They ran. The disciples were changed. You cannot just hear this story again and go back to normal life. Because if Jesus is really alive, then whatever you're facing right now is going to work out. It's going to be okay in God's hands. You just have to trust him. If Jesus is really alive, then God is not finished with me yet. Amen? If Jesus is really alive, then obedience is not a burden. It's a pathway to encountering Jesus himself. And if Jesus is really alive, then even your doubts don't disqualify you from walking with him. Would you bow your heads, please? I just want you to think in this time of silence. I'll give you a few moments to think about. What is your next step of obedience? What is Jesus calling you to do next? It might be something that you've been putting off or questioning or doubting. What is Jesus calling you to do? Almighty God, we come before you this morning again amazed by an empty tomb. We thank you that Jesus is alive just as he said. We thank you that what looked like the end actually was only the beginning, and that because of the resurrection, our lives are not defined by our lowest moment or the last thing we went through here on this earth. And so, Lord, because of all that, help us to trust in you. Help us to remember that whatever we're facing right now, you are working it out for good. Lord, when we are afraid, would you remind us of your promises? When we feel stuck, Lord, remind us that you're not finished with us yet, and you're still shaping us and creating something beautiful in our lives. Lord, give us courage to obey even in the small things, even when we don't fully understand. And help us to take that next step of faith, trusting that as we do, that we will meet you there. And Lord, for those of us who carry doubts, we thank you that you're not disappointed in us. We thank you that you meet us with grace and patience, that you stay with us, and that your presence does not depend on a perfect faith. So we ask that you would draw us closer to yourself. Lord, do not let us leave this place unchanged, but help us to live this week in the reality that you are alive, you are with us, and you are leading us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.